called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Thank you much for all of the involvement in the worship service so far. It's amazing to me this time of year to reflect upon what has happened over the last year. It's amazing to me to see the things that have happened in your lives and in my life. The many things that we've done, like meeting new friends, saying goodbye to some friends, doing events in the community, doing events here at the church, dealing with all kinds of things this year, but in the end, we still have one another. And today I'd like to talk about us. I would like to talk about our mission. Now, I don't mean as an individual, but I do mean as an individual because we all make up the church as individuals. But talking as a corporate body, as a group of people, what does it mean to be us? Let's bow our heads as we open God's word today. Dear Father in heaven, Holy Spirit also, Jesus, please listen to us today as we discuss your work here in this city and many cities around that we represent. The towns and the little villas, the little crossroads that we live at. Dear Father, we know that this church is in this city, on the edge of it, but we know, dear Father, that there are others, brothers and sisters, worshiping today. There are others, dear Father, that have the same desire. We pray that you, the Holy Spirit, will fall upon us in a way that opens our minds and hearts to you. And Jesus, let us proclaim your message that the Heavenly Father is a loving Father. Be with us today as we search your scriptures. Give us the ability, dear Father, to see where we're going in the future. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'd like you to open up your Bibles with me to the text that I would like to read today, and that is Mark chapter 1. I'm going to read it from the youngest of the disciples at the time. Mark chapter 1, and I'm going to start with verse 16. The verse today is Mark 1, 17, but I'm going to start with 16. Jesus was walking by Lake Galilee. He saw Simon and his brother Andrew. These two men were fishermen, and they were throwing a net into the lake to catch fish. Jesus said to them, "Come, follow me, and I will make you a different kind of fisherman. You will bring in people, not fish." So they immediately left their nets and followed Jesus. And that is taken from the English Revised Standard Version. How many of you have ever been fishermen? Some of you are like, yeah. If Jesus came to you today and said, "I'm going to make you a fisher of men," what lure would you use? Or would you be like the fishermen of old and cast nets and had to sort the fish afterward? Let me ask you another question. Today, in the middle of the holidays, Hanukkah and everything else, because there are so many holidays toward the end of a year, especially a solar calendar, it's interesting to see that people like to gather, and it's the reason why is it gets dark so soon. And we want to be in contact with our friends and family. And kind of a caveat to this too, after harvest, it was really important for people to gather together after harvest because they had to put away the food, they had to store it for winter, and then they would tell the stories of everyone and all of the tribe. So this time of year, that's where a lot of the traditions that we have, in fact, I'd like to talk about some of those traditions in the new year, but today we're going to talk about us. Our not only our traditions, but who we are as individuals and as a church. Can you imagine Jesus saying, "Follow me, I want you to do kind of the things that I do"? In today's context, it would be kind of like this. I'm going to make you followers of me. Maybe, just maybe, let me read a couple things that I put down because I think it would be really important. Maybe it would look like this. Come follow me, I'll make you a YouTuber with many followers. Some of you are like, yeah. Some of you are like, I have no idea what you just said. Or would it be like this? Come follow me, I will make you an influencer for Jesus. Come bike with me, I will show you God's creation and health. Come follow me as we run the race together. Come follow me as we paint the web with many messages of hope. Come follow me as we put new roofs on people's houses and new siding and do many things for people so that they can see that we have a loving heart. Come follow me because I know that people need to know how to be managers of their finances. Come follow me to find better health. Come follow me, I'll make you into a passionate follower of Jesus Christ. I will use your talents. I mean, look at the fishermen. Were they skilled at what they did? Obviously, otherwise they wouldn't be alive because they wouldn't have eaten because they wouldn't have made any money. So they were good at what they did, and Jesus took them where they were and realized that they were going to witness to people that were just like them. So when he was starting to call these people, he called people from all walks of life. In fact, the 12 were just the beginning. There were many other people that followed Jesus Christ. So when you talk about the mission of Jesus Christ, it was not just narrow. It was not just 12 different varieties. It was hundreds of varieties of people. Come follow me. I call this the sharing journey of Jesus. He gave them courage to share the teachings that he would give them. Now, if you look at our church and you look at the building, what do we have to offer? As a group, have you thought of that? As a group, what do we offer the community? Individually, as a person, what do you offer the community? If you're given a great commission that says, go and tell people, baptizing them and teaching them all things that I have taught you, what would that look like? In fact, the gospel is kind of daunting to some because we're like, oh, well, I have this little thing that I do. Is it okay? I mean, is it something that God can use? Let me tell you, if he used loaves and fishes, he can use my talents. How do we share? How do we teach? How do we model the life of Jesus Christ and his teachings? And not in a generic way either, because we have some unique things as Seventh-day Adventists that are very, 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 very important because we look into the future with optimism. And some of you are like, wait, what? I always thought the church was don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. No, it's optimism. Our church offers optimism because we know that when God comes and his people are ready, that we're not going to be the only ones alone. If you think that you're supposed to be alone and you're not supposed to witness, you're in the wrong church. Some of you are like, oh, great, I'm an introvert. You just killed me. In little small ways, you can share your faith. In little ways that may not even take words, you can share your faith. And what's amazing about this is when I came here to this church, I realized that this church has way more to offer than you could ever imagine. It's not just the building that we're in. If you look at the disciples, did they have a building? No. In fact, most of them followed Jesus around, and as they followed Jesus around, they heard his teachings and they saw what it did, and they not only memorized it, but they became it. And that's basically how we are. As we hear the message of Jesus Christ, we become changed. We don't just preach from here. And ours looks a little more full than that. I took a picture when you guys weren't here. We don't just preach and teach here. That's not what we're about as a church. We are a community of believers that loves the community so much that we can't keep it to ourselves. It's important for us to grow, but we need to not only stream our services and interact with people online, but we need to talk to people. Look at the person next to you that's not your husband, wife, or children. Maybe behind you. You can give them a wave, it's fine. What does that person offer that makes you a better person? You may not even know them really well, but what does that person offer that makes you a better person? And if you look around, you're like, what do I offer that makes other people better? Do I talk about God in a positive light? Do I look at everything around me in a way that says, Jesus is the most important thing on the planet? If you don't follow him, it would be a travesty. As we stream and as we do the activities and the sermons here, and as we go to the community and feed people, as we go and we do different things in the community and teaching about health, and we do things about teaching about the Bible, and we just go to help people for just the reason because, it would be neat for us as leaders to know what you're willing to do when it comes to sharing the message of Jesus Christ. It would be neat to know what you're willing to do and sharing your faith. I know we live in all parts of Madison. In fact, I think we have a ring around it and a Target in the middle, because there's a lot of people that live around it and right in the middle, and there's hardly any in the in-between kind of. But what does it mean for us to do ministry? In fact, I looked this week in my office and I was sitting there praying and asking God, you know, this is really important. The Holy Spirit really needs to show, and we need to understand what you're doing, dear Father. And I looked up at the thing on my wall, the different names of God, and it came to me. It came to me like a flood. You know why we have so many names for God? Because we have so many different kind of people that need to meet God in a different location than I do. I'm a preacher's kid. I can handle all the science and stuff like that behind the language and all that. I can handle that. I was brought up as a preacher's kid. But some people have to meet Jesus and get to know him because they have no idea who he is. When you say Jesus saves, they'll say, at what bank? And it's not a joke to them. They don't know what you're talking about. But I realized with the names of Jesus that Jesus, God, the Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit meet people in so many different ways that he has so many names because they met him in a different place. In fact, the older I get, he's all those names. He's every single one of them because he's my God. Today, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to one text before we start diving into, I call the nuts and bolts of things. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'm going to start with 16. It is not my work of telling the good news that gives me any reason to boast. That is my duty, something that I must do. If I don't tell people the good news, I am in real trouble. If I did it because it was my own choice, I would deserve to be paid. But I have no choice. I must tell the gospel, the good news gospel. So I am only doing the duty that was given to me. So what do I get for doing it? My reward is what then I tell people the good news, I can offer it to them for free and not use the rights that come with doing the work. I am free. I belong to no other person, but I make myself a slave to everyone. I do this to help save as many people as I can. To the Jews, I become a Jew. I could not have been helped because I was a Jew. I myself am not ruled by the law, but in those who are ruled by the law, I become like someone who is ruled by the law. I did this to help save those who are ruled by the law. To those who are without the law, I became like someone without the law. I did this to help save those that were without the law, but really I am not without God's law, I am ruled by the law of Christ. To those who are weak, I became weak so that I could help save them. I have become all things to all people. I did this so that I could save people in any way possible. I do all of this to make the good news known. I do it so that I can share the blessings of the good news. You know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one runner gets the prize. So like that, run to win. All who compete in the games are strict training. They do this so that they can win a prize, one that doesn't last, but our prize is one that will last forever. So I run like someone who has a goal. I fight like a boxer who is hitting something, not just in the air. It's my own body. I fight to make it do what I want. I do this so that I won't miss getting the prize myself after telling others about it. I read it from this language because it's kind of poignant, and it's true to the text. I've looked at the original language. It's pretty true to the text in this. When we share what's in these pages, what do you share? Jesus. What's the gospel? Jesus, him crucified, resurrected, and coming again. That's the gospel. And yet sometimes we complicate that by the minutia that we think is important. That's where individualism is really, really detrimental to telling somebody about Jesus Christ. The first thing I want you to tell people about Jesus Christ is that he died for them, he's resurrected, and he's coming back for them. That's the first things I want to hear out of your mouth, because that is what tells them, I'm a fisherman for Jesus. When we do this, it's interesting because people are then not attracted to me, they're attracted to the message of Jesus Christ. And when they're attracted to the message of Jesus Christ, I don't have a whole bunch of Pastor Lauren Nelsons running around. I have a bunch of people that are so diverse and so unique that they can reach people dynamically different than me. And that's where we come in as a church today. That's where we look at the pages of the Bible and realize that God is something very, very much more important than we can ever imagine. The Madison area is so diverse, but so are we. The need for the city to meet Jesus and fall in love with our God, the Holy Spirit is the only one that can guide us through this. So is it okay with you if I ask the Holy Spirit to come this morning now as we kind of close this part of our sermon and start brainstorming as a group of people? Just for 15 minutes, okay? It doesn't even have to be 15 minutes. But if the Holy Spirit says something that we need to do, we need to also be able to be involved in the thing that we say. So let's ask the Holy Spirit this morning. Would you bow your heads with me as we open this next part of our service? Our Father in heaven, we have been through a lot as a church over the years. I know of at least two other buildings that were built with the anticipation that that would be the last building that they would build before Jesus comes. But I know, dear Father, here we are in the 21st century. Here we are, dear Father, asking the Holy Spirit to come be with us and to speak to our hearts and minds as we talk about the things that we would like to do in the future as a group of people. And also, dear Father, the things that maybe we do well, and maybe, dear Father, some of the things that we don't do so well in. Dear Father, help us as we look to not depend on ourselves and our wants and needs, but to depend on you for all the things that you want us to do in this church. Dear Father, if there's something that is just way out there that we need to do, that you'll bring it to somebody's heart and mind today. And dear Father, as we take all of these and tally these, I pray that you'll be with the leadership, that the Holy Spirit would be poured upon them, that you will guide me too, dear Father, as I try to organize this with them and understand that everything that we do to your honor and glory. And dear Father, that you will already be working on our brothers and sisters that need to hear your message. Be with us today. Anoint us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'd like to take a look at a couple questions, and I know 15 minutes is not a lot of time,